On August 28, 1940, Victor Borger, whose birth name was Borger Rosenbaum, was born in 1909. He arrived in the United States aboard a United States Army transport, the American Legion, the last neutral ship to make it out of Finland. Borger had been playing concerts in Denmark, his country of birth, and combining music with stand-up comedy. He was touring extensively in Europe in the late 1930s, and he began telling anti-Nazi jokes. When the German army occupied Denmark on April 9, 1940, Borger was playing a concert in Sweden, and he managed to escape to Finland. There he was able to get passage to the United States. He arrived with $20 in his wallet and had to pay $3 through a custom fee. Later, disguised as a sailor, Borger returned to Denmark once during the Nazi occupation to visit his dying mother. Even though Borger did not speak a word of English upon arrival to the United States, he quickly managed to adapt his jokes to the American audience, learning English by watching movies. He took the name of Victor Borger, and in 1941 he started on Rudy Valley's radio show. He was hired soon after by Bing Crosby for his Kraft Music Hall program. Borger quickly rose to fame, winning Best New Radio Performer of the Year in 1942, and soon after that award, he was offered film roles with stars such as Frank Sinatra in a film called In Higher and Higher. And while hosting the Victor Borger Show on NBC beginning in 1946, he developed many of his trademarks, including repeatedly announcing his intent to play a piece, but getting distracted by something or other, making comments about the audience or discussing the usefulness of Chopin's Minute Waltz as an egg timer. He would also start out with some well-known classical piece like Beethoven's Moonlight Sonata and suddenly move into a harmonically similar pop or jazz tune such as Cole Porter's Night and Day or Happy Birthday to You. He became a naturalized citizen in 1948. After an incredible career of entertaining on radio, television, in the movies, and putting on live concerts all over the world, on December 23, 2000, Victor Borger died in Greenwich, Connecticut at the age of 91. After more than 80 years of entertaining, he died peacefully in his sleep, a day after returning from a concert in Denmark. One of his sons, Frederick, said, and I quote, "It was his time to go. He's been missing my mother terribly." His second wife, Sarah Bell, who had been married to him for 47 years, had died in September, just 3 months prior to Victor's death. Borger was cremated and had part of his ashes interred in Greenwich, Connecticut, and the other part in the Western Jewish Cemetery in Copenhagen, Denmark. On this track, you're going to hear an excerpt from Victor Borger's 1972 first performance at the London Palladium. Victor Borger was truly a talented pianist and brought tears of laughter and an appreciation of classical music to all his millions of listeners. This is Heirloom Radio, a different kind of oldies program. My name is John Lovering, and I do thank you for listening.
Good evening, and welcome to here. It's of course a great pleasure for me to perform the first time here in the London Palladium and so forth. We're going to have an interval pretty soon. You should really have been here. This is the second show this evening. You should have been here during the first show. I'm sorry you weren't here. Because then we could have been home by now. I'm a little short of breath still. I ran over to the hotel between the performances and I missed the 8 o'clock lift. Going down. Told me the next one is 9:47, Tuesday. October 9th. 1973. That's it. I'm beginning to run out of material. I have often been asked to... Oh, by the way, the Baldwin Piano Company has asked me to announce that this is a Steinway piano. Steinway and Sons. I didn't even know they were married. You know, they were the Steinways. Anyway, I have often been asked to play a number all the way through, and I am delighted to announce tonight that I'm positively not going to do it. For two reasons. One is that I don't know anything all the way through. And that happens to be the other reason also. But I have been practicing the endings of certain selections, the beginning of which I have played at previous visits to London and the vicinity, and the ones of you who have heard me before and perhaps were missing some endings will now hear some endings, hopefully belonging to some of the beginnings to which they were missing previously. So, that's it. I'm going to play a little thing by Mozart. I'll teach you. I want to play a little thing called Bagatelle, and that's exactly what it is. Just a short piece. About a foot and a half. Sir, would you be kind enough to laugh with the rest of the audience? If everybody's going to laugh individually, we will never get out of here. Are there three pedals on this piano? Who do they think I am? Who do you think I am? All right, Mozart. I mean, Bagatelle by Mozart. The ending of that one. Do you care for good music? You do? Fine, you have come to the wrong concert. All right, I'm going to play another one. Another of my favorites. That's the last chord of the national anthem. That saves us from standing up. Oh, another one. Another good one. These are the two last chords of the opera Aida. That saves us a whole evening. If we are lucky. And now, I'm going to play, have a request from a young lady. Oh, well, she isn't so young anymore, but I had a request from her when she was young. Play the revolutionary etude by Chopin, and I hope you enjoy it. You will enjoy it also. Somebody ought to. I play it with both hands attached. My time is up. Oh, upside down, I'm sorry. I don't know if you are familiar with this type of watches. It tells the time, the day, the month, the year, and the altitude. It's a marvelous watch. I just can't be without it. I have been, though, but I can't do it very well. Unfortunately, one hand is missing. And I can't tell which hand it is, because with only one hand left, how do you know whether it's the little one or the big one? Actually, That might be the reason why today is Tuesday, the 84th of February. Ash Tuesday. 1612. B.C. British Columbia, what does that mean? Last Wednesday, it was Easter Sunday on this watch. After supper, my neighbor came in and distributed Christmas gifts, because he also has one of them. And he has the other hand. One thing I must tell you, in all fairness to the maker, the watchmaker, of course. Excuse me. These watches are waterproof. Well, you don't care, you don't care. Never, though, have I seen a drop of water come out of my watch. Once you get it in there, it stays. Rust seals it. Now the revolutionary etude by Chopin. I don't know it. Actually, would you mind if I run through a couple of exercises? It might interest you. It might interest you to hear how we pianists practice and warm up before a performance or during it or things like that. I'm going to play for the music lovers. I'm going to play for all of you. The scale in the key of C. You deserve no less. Scale in the key of C. Where the hell is C? You didn't mark the C. All right, I'll find my own. Sir, would you be kind enough to explain to the rest of the audience how funny this really is? Can't remember everything. A year ago, last year, time flies. The world celebrated the birth. I have a little problem. TH is very difficult to pronounce for one who is not brought up in an English-speaking country. This business of extending the tongue, you know. One never knows how far to go. My English teacher said, speak like this for 2 months and get used to it once and for all. So I spoke like this for 2 months and I got used to this once and for all. And everything went perfectly well, except for a few instances. They occurred when I happened to speak to some people who also spoke like this. Particularly in crowded lifts. In Denmark, where I grew up, we speak way back here. Kind of a guttural effect. But Denmark, as you know, is just a small country, and we don't have much room to fool around in. But it is quite a translation from... A friend of mine once tried it the other way. He drowned. A year ago last year... Madam, would you leave that gentleman alone now, please? There's a time and a place for everything. Apparently she found the place. Probably still looking. Anyway, a year ago last year, what if you go on like that, it would be 2 years ago last year. The world celebrated the birth of Ludwig van Beethoven. That was, in my opinion, about time. Because it was his 200th anniversary, which couldn't have been celebrated earlier anyway. I like to join in the celebration and play Clair de Lune by Claude Debussy. I don't play Beethoven very well. And how can I honor him by playing any of his own compositions the way I do? Whereas I play Debussy very badly, and I'm sure that Beethoven would enjoy that very much. First, I'm going to play a short version of the Moonlight Sonata by Beethoven. To introduce a young pianist. He's a young Armenian who came from Turkey to the United States on Thanksgiving Day. Six years ago, and he has graduated gradually from the famous music school there, the Juilliard School of Music in New York, as a cook. He's a fine cook also. And as recently finished a concert tour of South America, where he played in Bolivia, in his recital, in his uncle's house there. Now, he's a fine young musician and an excellent pianist. Will you please welcome Mr. Shahan Azrouni? Mr. Azrouni does not speak very much English, nor very well, but he lives with his family in New York City, And they use their native tongue, of course, twice a week, which is, fortunately, I speak a little Turkish myself, so we get along this way. This is your first and my first appearance at the, wherever we are. You choose tonight what you would like. We'll play together, which will be a duet. We only have one piano. How is your uncle? Is he better? I'm glad to hear that. Mr. Azruni's uncle lives in Istanbul and he's a road engineer. He was run over by a steamroller about 5 months ago and is still in the hospital in room 21 to 27. Almost joined your uncle there.